asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances.
So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Hala talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
I'm Matt.
And today we're talking about accidents, insurance, and deductibles. Oh my.
That's right, man. We are talking about insurance and accidents for a couple reasons, actually. We're going to talk about that today. First of all, accidents and insurance. Like, these are things that cost you money, mm-hmm. right? And anytime there is an opportunity to earn more money, invest your money, or save money.
Matt and Joel are going to be on the case.
We're going to want to talk about that. So that's one reason. Another reason is because you, sir, my co-host here at How to Money, you have experienced a string of bad luck.
Yes.
Is maybe the best way, or the lightest way to put it, yeah. I should say.
I wasn't carrying my lucky rabbit's foot this week. And
did you ever have a lucky rabbit's foot as a kid?
I think when I was in like fifth grade.
Oh, I feel like that's like the age, fourth grade. I'm pretty sure I got one at a national park, maybe when we were visiting Yellowstone.
That
or
sounds about
like
right.
That.
But no,
sorry.
You're right.
Keep going.
You're right. I've definitely like bitten the bullet recently with a couple of accidents, which kind of caused us to say, well, we should talk about this on the show. And we can, I can just kind of lament about like the things I've been going through over the past couple of weeks. Basically had a tree fall on my house. So I'm making a homeowner's insurance claim. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that in this episode. I got rear-ended by someone else. There at a red light.
Less than a week later. Right out of a week, I guess.
Yeah. So there's a lot, I think, to talk about based on my own personal experience, but based on just kind of things that everyone needs to know when it comes to the kind of insurance they carry, mm-hmm. what they keep their deductible at, and just kind of a lot of stuff to know pre and post accident in order to be most efficient with your money and make sure you're covered in the right places.
Yeah. And by the way, it wasn't just any old tree that it's not like a tree just happened to kind of fall over. Like your house got skewered.
Yes,
essentially. Like lightning struck this giant, how tall do you think that tree was? Like 80 feet or
probably
something? I mean, it
yeah.
was massive. And just the way it came through your roof, dude.
We'll have to put a picture in the show notes and on Instagram, because it literally looks like
crazy.
Someone stuck a tree fork
was crazy
in my house. That's exactly what it looks like. Like someone was trying to eat my house.
It was like a giant tuning fork, essentially. Yeah, so like you weren't even there and you gave me a call. You're like, can you head over to my house?
Right.
And I couldn't believe it when I saw it.
Nuts.
We'll definitely post some pictures.
Yeah, you got to see it, because like I will say this. It went through the roof, through the couch, through the rug, through the hardwood floors. I mean, that's how
And broke floor joists.
Oh, yes.
As well. That's
yeah.
I mean,
roof joists and floor joists.
So I thought when I was over there, and it's like, it's been raining as well, so it's dripping into the house a little bit. I'm talking to you on the phone, and I was trying to be optimistic. I was like, I mean, it's pretty bad, but I don't think it damaged your floor because I couldn't see because like the couch
is still in the way.
I thought it had stopped it, but no, it had gone through your couch, through the floor.
Pretty
and
crazy.
I guess the tree guy sent you a picture later, and there's literally a hole on the floor the size of a dinner plate.
Yeah, or even a little bit bigger than that. We had we have cats. They were getting in there, so it's kind of,
Oh,
they like to explore. But I will say, too,
I'm glad you're able to have somewhat of a sense of humor about it.
I guess, I mean, you got to. I will say we were so glad that we were out of town when this happened. I hate to have made you the person to go over there and document everything.
Happy to get over there.
I appreciate that. But it's one of those
things. I'm glad I wasn't there because that's normally where I sit. Yeah. I love sitting on that couch. And it fell right where Matt normally sits.
That's right. And if we had been awake at the time, or you know, a lot of debris and limbs got into Ezra's room, my little dude. And so, man, think about how freaked out he would have been, and how freaked out we all would have been if we were in the house at the time. So that's one of those things where it's like, you got to look on the bright side and think about how fortunate you are, even when accidents occur. But we've got, a lot to get to on this episode when it comes to thinking about accidents kind of on the front end, and then kind of like in the aftermath, how do you deal with it effectively in order to make sure that you don't get left holding the bag.
Totally. Yeah. And naturally, there will be plenty of personal anecdotes during this episode. But first, let's quickly introduce our beer. Joel, you and I, we're enjoying an AOK Marzen style lager. This is a Gruner Brothers brewing beer, and this was sent to us by Katie. So, Katie, thank you so much for donating this one to the show. We look forward to sharing our thoughts at the end of the episode.
Yeah, this was her. She lives in Wyoming. This is her favorite brewery from Wyoming. So, I don't know if I've ever had any beer from Wyoming.
Wyoming beer.
I've never been to Wyoming, sadly. So
it's a great place.
One of these days. Make it happen. All right, but let's move on, Matt. Let's get to the subject at hand. We are talking about accidents, insurance, and deductibles. And of course, my personal experience. You know what it made me think of? It made me think of fire drills in elementary school.
Oh, yeah.
You remember those, right? We all had to do them. It felt like kind of a waste of time. We're like, come on, really? We were going to get a fire in this building, but yet you had to go through the motion. Same thing with tornado drills. Very similar. You had to get under your desk. You had to wait for, what, like 5 minutes until the supposed fake tornado passed?
Our drills, like you'd have to go out in the hallway, get up against the wall, and tuck your head under your head. That was the tornado drill.
That was another, yes. So what was it? Why did we crawl under our desks?
Was that an earthquake drill?
Maybe that was that.
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, as kids, they all seem ridiculous, right? Yeah. Like you think about tornado drills or tornadoes in general, and you think about Twister, but that, you know, that doesn't happen, at least here down in Georgia.
Not here.
Although, that being said, there have been a bunch of tornadoes kind of recently, so.
More and more, yeah.
Yeah, maybe all these drills make sense after all.
Maybe they do. They always felt like this waste of time.
Sure.
But I guess the bright side was they got you out of class for a little while, and so you were like, eh, whatever, it's fine. But the thing was, it was obviously a good thing if your school ever did experience a fire, right? If you ever needed to put that drill into practice.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, probably practice that was more necessary for the teachers rather than for us as kids. They had to know how to shepherd
a herd all the cats.
Yes. Sure. Exactly. But even though it felt kind of silly, right, you would be glad that you went through the motions if your school ever experienced one. And insurance, it kind of makes me think it's kind of like a fire drill in a lot of ways. Most of the times, it feels unnecessary. It almost feels like wasted dollars. What if I could claw that money back that I was spending on insurance that I never used? But in the rare instances where you actually need to put it to use, you're more than happy to know that you have that policy in place.
Totally.
I know a lot of people are like, well, and we're not going to really talk about like life insurance. It's mostly car and homeowners insurance focused. But a lot of people are like, man, if I don't die, that insurance is worthless. And it's like, yeah, but that's kind of what you want, right? You're insuring against the thing that you wouldn't be able to pay for in the event that the worst thing happens.
And at least with insurance or life insurance, you know that at some point you actually will die.
Yeah. Maybe not during the term policy, sure. The term that you have.
Maybe not in the 30 years that you have your policy for. But yeah, dude, I mean, I even remember as an adult, like working at one of my first jobs after college, like we had a 12-story office building and they would have fire drills as well. But at least in those instances, like they would always have a food truck out on the parking deck or like ice cream to give out like free snacks for all of the hassle. But the fact is, like even as adults, that quote unquote inconvenience, like that was a prudent move that I would have been thankful for. And anyone out there who has made an insurance claim, they would be in a similar boat. They would feel similarly. And while virtually everyone out there is required to have car insurance, I think like New Hampshire might be the only state that doesn't require it.
They are the live free or die state. So it's like, don't tread on me. I don't need my car insurance.
That being said, not everyone has had the misfortune of actually being in an accident. So knock on some wood if that's you. And so one of the problems that we're addressing today is what you should do once you've been involved in a car accident. You know, it can be a surreal experience that can catch you off guard if you're not prepared. And so we think it's wise to talk through some of the practical steps that you should take after you've been involved in a car wreck.
Yeah, we're going to talk about homeowners insurance claims too, and kind of what happens, how you navigate post accident, post supernatural act of God sort of experience. But let's talk about car wreck stuff first, Matt. And I did I mentioned, yes, I had the tree fall through the roof, but I also this past Sunday had someone run into the back of our car when we were stopped at a stoplight. And so
unbelievable.
I had to know how to do some of these things firsthand in the heat of the moment, which I will say, you're very disoriented when that happens, even if it's not something terrible. This guy slammed into the back of our car. We should post that video, by the way, too.
Oh my gosh, we're gonna have so much great great media from all of Joel's misfortune.
The Instagram content is rich this week, guys.
So the reason you said post the video, the car in front of you had
a
backwards facing dash cam, which is kind of crazy that exists.
I know.
I mean,
really
I know it exists. I guess in
but not many people have them.
Yeah, in some countries it's required.
Yeah, so we've got
you
that
actually
video.
Do have footage of y'all getting slammed.
Kind
of
crazy, but it really can be disorienting when you get in some sort of car wreck, and it's hard to know. And so we want to kind of cover. Yeah. Hey, here's the things you should do immediately upon that happening, and running through this ahead of time, because essentially it's a drill, just like when you were back in school, just like one of those tornado drills or fire drills, because knowing the right steps on the front end can save you that time, the hassle, and of course money. And by the way, later in this episode, we're going to cover some different ways to optimize your insurance, how you can make sure that you're properly insured, but also how you can make sure that you're not paying more than you need to in order to be properly insured, which is important. But let's talk about how to react right after an accident occurs, Matt. And of course, the number one thing that everyone is concerned about and should be first and foremost concerned about is whether or not everyone's safe, whether or not they're okay. And that was our first reaction after getting an accident. Fortunately, it wasn't too bad. The guy was going, I don't know, 20 or 25 miles an hour when he rammed into the back of us. We were a little shocked, but it was like, especially with the kids being in the car, are you okay?
Dude.
And if anybody had been seriously injured, we would have taken advantage of an ambulance and gone to the hospital. Or we could have even gone just because the car was drivable. We could have taken everyone to urgent care to get checked out. Just depends on what people are complaining of after the fact. But that is the first thing you need to be, of course, concerned about is everyone's physical condition. I would say when in doubt, go get checked out, of course, to make sure that there's nothing terribly wrong. But also it's going to help you in the event that you do make an insurance claim.
Yeah. This isn't a time to be frugal, right? Because I think a lot of times folks are thinking, oh, man, if I were to call the ambulance, that's going to cost a lot of money. But there are a lot of times that I think folks will come down on us and are like, man, you guys are being... That's not frugal. Like, that is being cheap. And I will say this is an instance where I think we would lean certainly more on the err on the side of caution as opposed to thinking about the dollars and cents and how it is that you can save money. And I'll say, too, you know, I think right after making sure everyone's safe, we're talking about those dash cam. But I've seen footage of cars basically like hitting patches of ice on interstates.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kind of thing that the algorithms feed me because they know, I guess that's what I'm into. But it's crazy. I mean, it's unfortunate, honestly, because I've seen some of these videos where there's just evidently just a massive amount of ice and these cars just keep continuing to pile onto each other because the cars can't stop because they're hitting ice. And so it's important to make sure that you're not in imminent danger as well. So aside from making sure that you're, you know, immediately safe, like right after something like that occurring, finding a way to ensure that you're out of harm's way, essentially, so that additional harm doesn't occur, not only to your property, but to you physically as well.
Even though you want to document kind of what's going on, and we'll talk about that, if you're where you ended up after that wreck, if you're in imminent danger of further damage being done by other vehicles or whatever, you're going to want to make sure that you're not in a position to do further harm to yourself or to your property.
Yeah. So once you know that everyone is okay, you're not in harm's way, the next thing you're going to want to do is call the police. Even if it's just a minor fender bender and you don't need an actual ambulance to show up there on the scene, having police there at the scene of the accident to write up an official accident report is going to be crucial. It can be incredibly difficult to actually file a claim with an insurance company if there isn't an official report. So, you know, sometimes the evidence is going to be clear. Joel, like when you were rear-ended, it's pretty obvious that you were at no fault.
But I've been in other accidents where the driver claimed that he wasn't at fault, but it was clear to me that he was. And so having that incident report so that it's not a he said, she said sort of situation, you definitely don't want that. And so having that officer come out, document what happened in that report, saved my bacon when it came to insurance, because that guy was going to claim till the end of his dying days that he didn't cause the accident when he was clearly trying to get across three lanes of traffic and ran into me. You know, so those are the kind of things where you definitely want to make sure no matter what, because you never know what that person's going to say to their insurance company or what they're going to try to argue. And if you have
what kind of medical claim they might want to try to claim.
Yeah. And so if you have that unbiased third party, which is typically a police officer writing an incident report, that's really important, and that's going to help you ultimately not be left on the hook for something that wasn't your fault.
Sure.
And the next thing to do is to document everything, right? To take a lot of pictures. And so even though it's the job of the officer who shows up to document what happened, hopefully they're going to write a thorough report. Like, having your own documentation is key to making sure that you're made whole and that the responsible parties are identified.
Yeah.
And so this is the case whether we're talking about a home or an auto insurance claim. Like, take thorough pics before you move anything. Document any further damage as it occurs. So for instance, on my home right now, there were some places in the roof that weren't tarped appropriately, and there's another hole that we didn't even know about until later, until we saw water damage coming through the dining room. And so it's important to, for insurance purposes, to document that as that damage is happening and to relay that information to your adjuster, to the person you're working with at the insurance company too. And so items that are destroyed or damaged completely, they need to be recorded for insurance purposes. The couch, for instance, Matt, that you referenced that was impaled by that tree, like, I took pictures before putting it on the curb so that now I can show the adjuster, hey, this was the couch I had. I know it's hard for you to tell what kind, make and model it was, but, and then I can link and show them exactly what kind of couch I had just through a quick Google search. But it's, I would say too, this is one thing. It's important to have friends and have neighbors who, I was talking to.
Making a case for community, huh?
Yeah. Well, when I first called my insurance company, the person I talked to was not my actual agent. It was just somebody who worked on the 1-800 line. And they told me, wow, it's amazing. You had like three or four neighbors reaching out. Yeah, we had neighbors in there cleaning up some of the water damage, which was just so incredibly nice, but just so helpful too. And he said, I don't really know my neighbors. I feel like after this, I really should get to know my neighbors. And I thought this was just a really good thing to mention too. If you want to be prepared for an accident, knowing your neighbors is one of those things. Having some sort of relationship so you can call them and say, can you go check on my house? I'm not sure what happened. Or having enough of a relationship to where they're going to call you and notify you if something happened. We were out of town.
Sure.
If we had come back 4 days later and no one had reached out to us, imagine how awful that feels. Like, to come home and realize that, to know ahead of time is so massively helpful. So I think knowing your neighbors and knowing that they can help you out in a pinch and vice versa is just massively important.
That's true. Yeah. So that's specific to home insurance. But when it comes to where you'd be involved in a car wreck, you want to make sure that you exchange information with the other party. You don't want to walk away from that accident without having insurance information from those folks. And so you can either write it down, you can take a picture of their information. If it seems like something where it might be unclear as to what it is that happened, having somebody there who witnessed it, who's saying, hey, man, I saw what happened. I'm willing to hang out here for a little bit and provide a secondhand report, you know, to the police officer of what happened. That can be incredibly helpful. And like you said, I mean, you literally have digital evidence. What's crazy, you know, of when y'all got hit, like you have video of that actually happening. I guess you could have video too if somebody had a ring, like one of the Ring doorbells across this, you know, if you had a neighbor that had that, that might be even
crazier. I kind of want to see it.
Even crazier to see is actually seeing a tree get struck by lightning.
Sure.
But, you know, when it came to the car accident, you were able to get that footage from that guy and you have that on hand. I'm sure the guy that hit you wasn't going to try to make a case that it wasn't his fault. But if he did, you have that evidence on hand that showed clearly that y'all were just sitting there. You're like looking for your sunglasses.
Yeah, I know.
Which is, I guess that's actually how, or one of the reasons
why. Yeah, the sun was blinding him. That's why he ran
into the back of you. You were looking for your sunglasses and maybe he was looking for his too.
Yeah. Well, and I will say having that third party, not just the police officer come out and document things, but having a witness on hand, having their information, having them speak to the police officer about what happened too is really important too. So covering all your bases.
Yeah. And I'll say too, like, as you are exchanging that information, like, certainly be kind regardless of whose fault it is, but don't be overly kind, because I think in an effort to be accommodating to somebody else, you might even say the words, oh, I'm so sorry, it's all my fault.
Yeah.
And that's something you don't necessarily,
or you might say,
want to admit, because it may not be your fault.
You might say it's not your fault to that person when it is their fault.
Exactly.
But you might say, it's okay. Like, we're going to get
through
this. Those kind of things are better than trying to, you don't want to assign any sort of blame to yourself or to that person.
Exactly. Yeah. Because they might have their phone out as well, taking pictures, taking video. And if they have a video and it's, you know, they got their phone out and that thing is going, and on that video, they have you saying it's not your fault, or, oh, it's all my fault. That could be something that could come back and bite you in the butt. But after that, you want to make sure that you notify your insurance company, even if you aren't at fault here, because they can help to negotiate with the opposing party's insurance, or they might even file the claim for you. right? Like, aside from the headache of having a busted up ride or a home that needs to be fixed, that needs to be repaired, it can feel like a part-time job trying to get a company on the phone as you're trying to coordinate and schedule adjusters to show up, or in your case, like I think you said, like you need to get like an engineer out there because some of the structural damage that took place.
They at least want to kind of look a little bit further, make sure that and document that stuff so that they know that everything is fixed.
That they're doing it properly, which I, you know, even though it's kind of a headache, you can, I guess, you can appreciate their how thorough of a job that they're doing, and not like, we'll just throw some drywall over that. It'll be fine. It's like, I don't want you to do that either.
It's going to make the whole process take a little bit longer, but it's one of those things where it's worth it in the end, because just in case they uncover something that maybe to the naked eye is hard to see, you want to make sure a structural engineer takes, especially when you're talking about a tree coming through your roof. That's one of those things where, it impacted floor joists, roof roof beams. So I want to make sure that it's getting
a lot of different systems.
It's getting repaired properly.
Yeah, but again, even if you aren't at fault, let your insurance company know, because a great insurance company that, you know, is going to be able to shoulder some of this burden. And if that were to be the case, I think that would be some welcomed relief as you're trying to get back to normal living without having to worry about the constant flood of emails and phone calls that you're having to tend to.
Yeah, it really absolutely was one of the most annoying parts of the whole thing, is that it becomes kind of like a part-time job for you, which I wasn't necessarily looking for another part-time job, and now I kind of have two working with both of these situations, but it kind of comes with the territory. And I will say one other thing to mention is a lot of insurance companies are going to steer you towards what are known as preferred contractors, whether that is fixing up your car or fixing up your house. They have relationships with a lot of different companies, whether they're independent or whether they actually work specifically, whether it's like a Progressive branded auto repair center or whatever it is. They might have people they work with regularly. And so they might try to tell you, hey, you should go here to get it fixed, and it might save them money. But the truth is, you have the right to be able to hire your own folks to fix your vehicle or your house. So you're not subject to using people that the insurance company might try to push on you. I think it's just important to note, Matt, because you might not feel comfortable with that, or you might want to hire your people that you've worked with before, or who you trust the quality of their work, whether it's repairing your car or repairing your home. And so that's what I'm going to do. Like, I'm not going to go with the people that the insurance company recommends. Not that they might not be great, but I'd rather use people I've worked with before or take recommendations from neighbors.
Yeah. Instead. You've got a relationship established already with some of these different mechanics.
Yeah. So I would say ask around if you don't have anybody that you've worked with before, whether it's a contractor. Like, I reached out to a contractor we've used before. He's busy. He can't handle the work. So I'm reaching out to other people now that my neighbors have used that they recommend. And so, just make sure that the company you're hiring is licensed and insured. And it's helpful to get multiple opinions and quotes before kind of starting the work, whether it's to your car or to your home. But I think a lot of people feel compelled to use somebody that the insurance company recommends. And it's just important to note that you don't have to.
That's right. Yeah, you're not beholden to those vendors that they have a relationship with. Mm-hmm. You can reach out to the folks that you have that relationship with. And by the way, during the claims process, in particular with a car insurer, most folks don't know about diminished value. And many insurance companies, they conveniently forget to tell you about it. But basically, because your car has now been in an accident, it's going to be worth less if you were to sell it on the open market. So if you were in a wreck and you are not at fault, you're entitled not only to your car being fixed, but also to reimbursement because your car is now worth less money. And so it might take jumping through some additional hoops and providing additional documentation and diminished value. The rules depend on what state it is that you live in, but it could be well worth the additional effort in order to get maybe an additional 10-15% out of it.
Yes. I got hundreds of dollars based on just kind of, hey, when I was sideswiped by that car that went across three lanes of traffic, and I said, hey, like, this, I know my car is not like super nice or anything. That was back when I had that like green Altima that wasn't terribly excellent, but it was worth a few hundred dollars to me in diminished value that the insurance company never would have said a word about. And then when they did make their initial offer, it was low. And I came back and I said, hey, based on these calculations I've made, it sure looks like I'm entitled to a couple hundred dollars more than what you initially stated. And they, go back and they say, oh, okay, fine. But that's one of those things. Most people don't even know. They've never even heard that term. But if you're in a car accident, it's important to know that diminished value exists and that you are owed money, not just to fix your car, but to fix the fact that your car is now worth less.
Yeah, your car now has a reputation.
Yeah.
That's going to always follow it.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be on the Carfax, right, moving forward, which means somebody pulls that when they're trying to buy it, they're like, wait a second, I don't think I'm going to pay you as much as the one that hasn't been in an accident. But Matt, we've got more to get to on insurance and deductibles. We got a lot to talk about on the deductible front, because that is one way that you can save a lot of money or lose a lot of money. We'll talk about that and more right after this. Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So, if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. They are committed to high ethical standards and even had to pass a rigorous exam before they could become a CFP professional.
They offer financial planning and services that take a more comprehensive view of your financial and personal circumstances and are customized for your needs. Certified financial planner professionals can offer advice on a wide range of issues like reviewing your investment portfolio's allocation, handling an inheritance, rolling over a company retirement plan, building education savings, and so much more.
That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach. Every single summer. We've already got that trip to St. Simon's on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host, or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
If you're listening to this podcast right now and you're a small business owner, listen up. Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're actually choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers. They do everything from hyper-targeting best fit prospects through campaign optimization. Upswell Marketing's unique approach includes direct mail, search engine marketing, and social media ads, and has fueled more than 10,000 small business success stories. Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies. Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
All right, man, we are back from the break, and we just talked about what to do in the immediate aftermath after an accident there. But let's now talk about preparing for accidents in advance, because, you know, you can't predict like when or if an accident's going to occur, but you don't want to leave yourself financially vulnerable if something terrible comes along. So we're going to talk about preparing for those accidents. But first things first, we want to make sure that you know when to not use certain types of insurance that is going to end up costing you more in the long run. So specifically, I'm thinking about like roadside assistance, which, you know, it's not technically insurance, but oftentimes can be offered through your insurer. We would prefer for you to self-insure and pay for your own tows if you are stranded on the side of the road or go with AAA. But using the roadside assistance that is offered by car insurers can act like a claim, potentially increasing your actual insurance premium. And so even though it's not technically a part of insurance, it is something that they're offering.
Yeah, most people don't think, hey, if I make this roadside insurance, like,
because it's set up almost like a
little perk,
like a concierge, like, yeah. It's like at a hotel where they're like, would you like this cookie?
Right.
And it's just like, oh, wait, you just charged me for that cookie.
That's exactly what it feels
like. That's sort of like what this is.
And most people assume that the bottle of water in the hotel is going to be free, but no, it costs you $5.99. And it's very similar to roadside insurance through the one specifically through your insurance company, mm-hmm. because they might
say... Well, they track it, and yeah. then it goes on your CLUE report, and it's stuck with you for like 5-7 years.
Which is going to impact you potentially on the rates you pay with your current insurer, but definitely if you start shopping around for rates to move elsewhere. And
totally.
So, yeah, yep. I forget exactly how long those things stick click on that Clue report, which again is something most people don't know about. It's like an insurance database. And so all insurance companies can kind of see your claims history. It lives kind of in the back end on this Clue report that most of us don't really know what's on there. But I think not using certain things like that, like not having roadside assistance, and if you do, just definitely not using it. But if it costs you extra money, ditch it and get your own. But also it's important to make sure you have enough insurance. And this might sound crazy, but people are likely, a lot of our listeners are probably underinsured right now, Matt. We would suggest to check the face value of your insurance policy. If your home were to be completely destroyed in a fire, God forbid, would your insurance actually cover the full replacement cost of the home, right? And when you think about inflation has impacted everything. It's impacted the cost of materials to rebuild your home. It's impacted the cost of labor. It's impacted the timeline for renovations. Everything has just gotten more expensive. It's taking longer, and time is money on this front. So chances are you might not have quite enough insurance, and that could negatively impact you in a worst case scenario. And so, you know, updating the policy and getting more coverage on your home is going to cost you more in premiums in all likelihood. But it's also going to ensure that you're not left holding the bag for potentially thousands, tens of thousands, or hundreds of thousands of dollars in repair costs and replacement costs, because your coverage is going to be robust enough. So read your policy to check current limits, and if necessary, increase them to cover the full replacement cost of your home. It's worth kind of saying, okay, what would it cost to build a 4-bedroom, 3-bath or a 2-bedroom, 1-bath home like I'm in where I live, and then kind of checking to see if your insurance policy, what the overall amount of coverage you have is. And if it's not quite up to snuff, you want to raise that amount.
That's right. Yeah. And some insurers actually provide what's called inflation guard coverage, where there's sort of like this automatic stair step built into the amount of coverage that they provide every single year, which I'm not totally sure how I feel about it. Because on one hand, I like it because you can not think about it. And what that means is that over time, your coverage is probably going to match the value of your actual home. But in a perfect world, like on the other hand, I don't like it, because in an ideal world, that would be something that you regularly check, like maybe once a year, and be like, okay, does the value of my home, does it adequately match the coverage that I have? But the fact is, do most people do that? No.
Yeah.
Probably is the answer.
Yeah.
So
a product like that's going to put it on autopilot for most people who aren't going to recheck.
Exactly.
But this is hopefully a good chance for people to go in right now, log into the back end of their insurance and say, click the view my policy thing
on the
website.
Right now, because of the prompt that we are providing you literally right now.
And you can see basically like the coverage that you have, not just like the headline amount, which is important. That's what I'm telling you to look at now. But then even below that, you can dig in and see, well, what other kind of coverages does this entail as well?
That's right. Like some additional add-on policies, because those might be necessary as well. So for instance, if you have, like say you're a collector, maybe you've got some nice art, maybe you've got some very expensive fine jewelry.
I don't know if my folk art qualifies.
I think it would.
Okay.
I mean, if you can attach you can insure anything. You attach a dollar amount to anything, somebody out there will look at those fancy tables and they'll write a policy for it. But what if that fancy folk art of yours were, what if it were destroyed?
Fortunately, not. Most of it was less intact.
You didn't have any art?
There's like one little gash in one piece.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, dude. I bet there'll be additional things too where you're kind of like, oh, here's something else that happened. Oh, here's something else.
Oh, yeah.
But these additional items most likely won't be covered under your regular policy, and you might need an additional rider. In addition to that, maybe you have other structures on the property as well. And so make sure that those have enough coverage under the policy as well. Oh, and check to see whether some items are covered with replacement cost coverage. That way you're just paid a fraction of what you would have to spend in order to rebuy those now wrecked items. The counter to that would be the actual cash value, which takes into account depreciation. And so in that case, you would get paid less. But what you actually want is the full replacement value, what it would cost you right now, today, Joel, to go out and buy a new sofa. Like, what is that going to cost you? Not what the cash value is.
Because just because I bought the sofa 5 years ago doesn't mean I'm not paying today's cost to replace the sofa.
Exactly.
And so you want to make sure, my policy fortunately does have replacement cost coverage, so I'm going to get the full amount for what that sofa will cost me today, even though I bought it, not that long ago, like a year and a half ago or something. But these are important things to look at, because these are the kind of things that could cost you hundreds or thousands of dollars if you're not insured properly. You want to make sure you have enough insurance, even though it's going to cost you a little bit more from a premium perspective. Being underinsured could cost you a whole lot more in the long run. It's also important too, Matt, when we're talking about preparing in advance for an accident that can happen, and making sure that you're not going to be in a financial emergency, like if some sort of other emergency, car or home, occurs to you, is having enough money on hand. We talk about emergency funds all the time. But man, like this is one of those places. There's a bunch of instances where you might use an emergency fund, but I can't think of many more important than if you're in a car accident, or if you have some sort of homeowner's insurance claim as well. And so it's not there just in the event that you lose your job or if your transmission goes bust. It's also there to help you if an accident occurs. And so this is part of the reason why having 3 to 6 months of savings is so helpful. And this is why that's money gear number four, right? We don't want it to be so far down the list that you're investing so much that you don't have access to funds to help you get through some sort of emergency or accident. And so the reality is that having that additional savings on hand is going to help you in the case you got to meet that deductible, and it's going to help you pay for some of the contractors that you might need to deal with while you're having the home fixed before you get reimbursed by insurance, which is the position I'm in. You can have your insurance company pay a lot of these bills directly, or you can kind of be the hub. I just feel more comfortable. Maybe it's like a control issue, being kind of the hub for those and then submitting those receipts to the insurance company.
Or just a desire to move things along, because if you know that, well, I can call them right now and get that scheduled, you know that that's going to happen a good bit sooner.
I feel like, it's taking some of the gum out of the gears, and it allows me to kind of speed things up. And then I'll pay people, and then I'll submit that receipt to the insurance company, and it just makes things move a little bit faster. Although it does mean you got to have the cash in the bank to kind of facilitate those transactions.
That's right. So to be able to float some of those expenses. But another, you mentioned, you know, using some of your emergency fund to cover that deductible. But another plus of having like an even larger emergency fund on hand, right? So maybe, you know, towards the 6 or even the 6+ months worth of expenses on hand there in that fund is the ability to set your deductible even higher. And of course, the higher your deductible, the more you're going to be able to save on your insurance premiums. That's just how it works. But let's just say that you've got a bare $2,000 in your savings account, right? If that's the case, well, you're not going to want to raise your deductible to double that, right? Like you don't want to take that to $4,000 or $5,000, because that would be putting your finances in harm's way. But if you have been a great saver, increasing your deductibles is one of the best ways to reduce those monthly or annual premiums.
Yeah, and that's the case on both auto and homeowners insurance. You can raise deductibles on both of those things in an effort to save money every single month or every single year when it comes to the premiums you pay.
That's right. Yeah. So for instance, with your homeowners insurance going from a pretty low $500 deductible to a $2,000 deductible, well, that can save you more than $500 a year, depending on the insurer. But again, you want to make sure that you have way more than that within your actual emergency fund. Mm-hmm. But if you were to do that, in just over 3 years of not having a claim, you're going to have made all of that money back. And then beyond that, it's just icing on top. And the other perk is that you're less likely to actually file a claim. And so there, you've kind of got the psychological element behind it as well, where you're trying to disincentivize yourself from actually making a claim, because in the long run, that's going to end up costing you more. Having that cash on hand to be able to address some of those minor emergencies is what you want to be able to do.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And I'll say, in your case, we're not talking about a minor emergency. This is made, like, I don't know if you're cresting 100K yet, but like you're definitely in the tens of thousands
definitely
of dollars.
Tens
range.
Of thousands, yeah, for sure. But I don't know. That's a good question. Like we're still in the initial stages of kind of figuring out
it's all happening.
How extensive the damage is. Still don't have that engineer out, and it depends on if the whole roof needs to be replaced down to like, I don't know, the things that hold up the roof.
Down to the roof.
Yeah, yeah. Like, if all that needs to, who knows? Who knows right now? But I mean, it is going to be an expensive endeavor. And so I do think it's important that's a really important part of it though, Matt, is that if people have a higher deductible on their policy, they're less likely to tap the policy. And I think that's a good thing, because I've seen some people who have they've got $1,000 deductible, there's a $600 repair, they go to insurance and they tap into that insurance and they make a claim, and that is the worst possible thing you could do, even though you're going to come out $400 ahead, let's say in the short term. Over the long term, you're going to lose, and that's a bad idea. And so setting your deductible higher means you're less likely to tap it for a small thing. And research shows that rates can climb something like 40-50%. And that rate, that premium that goes sky high when you make that claim, it can stay elevated for somewhere between 3 and 5 years. So I would say run the numbers and don't file a claim unless it makes sense. I think some people think just because you've been involved in an accident, boom, it's time to turn to insurance. But if it's something relatively minor, if that tree had crashed and it had just damaged for some reason, like my son's little electric Jeep that he rides around the yard, like I wouldn't make a claim on that.
Or if it just... if it only knocked off your gutters,
right,
for instance,
you're knocked off the gutters.
That's not something you're going to file a claim over.
Yes, I am going to replace those gutters myself. Some people think, well, it hit the home, I've got to involve insurance. That's not necessarily the case. And so, yeah, if your deductible is set higher, it's going to cause you to lean on your own finances more in the case of like minor incidences and not going directly to the insurance company, which you want to avoid really when you can.
Well, and the same is true when it comes to car insurance as well, especially when it comes to comprehensive coverage. And I'll speak to this from personal experience as well. You don't want to make a claim. You don't want to file a claim when your windshield cracks because...
Right. Oh my gosh. That's a common one that I see people do.
And I did that. So in college, I filed two claims because I had a cracked windshield and another claim when I had hit a deer. And I didn't know that all these claims were counting against me. Until it knocked our entire family's car insurance into like this high risk profile. And not just, I mean, literally our entire family. So it wasn't just me, it was my parents as well. So they were paying like a factor of 2x and I got the boot. And Dad was just like, hey, I'm sorry, you're gonna have to find your own insurance. And I wish I would have been taught that, like, hey, maybe every time your windshield cracks, you don't call up the insurance company and have them send Safelite or whoever out to, you know, actually to make a repair or to replace your windshield.
Especially something as basic as a windshield replacement, you're barely gonna get paid out more than the deductible in most cases.
Well, I mean, in that case, I think the deductible was crazy low, and I was just like, well, that's what insurance is for.
Yeah,
I want to keep my ride looking good.
But I think you're right, and it's so important for us just to say that again. A lot of people think that's what insurance is for, but that is not what insurance is for. That's what self-insurance is for. And insurance is really...
That's what your emergency fund is for.
Yeah, it's for only when the numbers make sense. And I will say, my deductible, you can raise your deductible really high. And so I'm a proponent of people self-insuring and raising their deductible higher than they maybe even feel comfortable with, which I did in my case. Some insurance companies will allow you to actually raise your deductible to a percentage of the overall insured amount, as opposed to just a flat number. And so I did that. I upped the stakes even more in order to lower my premiums. And so right now I'm feeling the financial pain, but because it's going to be quite a bit of money.
Having to fork over.
Out of my pocket, I am co-insured basically with the insurance company. We're basically co-insuring this home. And so it's going to be expensive, but I was prepared for that. And I was willing to take the savings over the years that I got them. And I think I will continue to go this route. Like, I'm not changing my tune.
Just because the lightning strikes the tree once and it skewers your house, it doesn't change the fact that this is a rare occurrence.
Yes.
And even though it happened once, you know, I think there's a lot of folks who might react to that negatively and they would be like, oh shoot, like I'm never going to do that again.
Yep.
Well, that is true if you weren't financially prepared to have handled that deductible.
Well,
but
I mean,
you were.
Just because I go to Vegas and I win $500 at blackjack doesn't mean blackjack is a smart way to make money.
Exactly.
You know? And the same is true in the opposite way in this. Just because I did get some sort of act of God, lightning struck a tree occurrence doesn't mean that a higher deductible isn't still the best way to save money for people who can self-insure and have saved money.
It was an act of God. What did you what did you do?
I know, right? I'm sorry, God.
So it's, you know, it's a short-sighted move to file a claim when it's something that you can afford. Like, it, you know, saves you money for a minute, but not over the long haul. But I also just wanted to mention that it is possible to over-insure as well. There is basically an insurance product out there for like everything, anything that you can buy, everything under the sun, and they're not all necessary. Like, and so I'm talking about like pet insurance, right? Like, you can get like cancer insurance for your pet, quote unquote insurance for your new laptop. Maybe you're going to get a policy on your main water line that goes out to the street, flight insurance, all of these things. And so we want to make sure that you are well covered. You know, again, log in to the back end of your policy, take a look at your coverage, make sure that it will cover the full replacement value to rebuild your home, for instance. But you can't insure against everything that's out there, and you shouldn't. That's where savings are such an essential part of the preparedness equation. And as we're talking about insurance here, we don't want the opposite thing that we want to do is scare everybody out there into over insuring.
Yes.
And all of their monthly cash flow is flowing into these insurance products that they're not likely to actually need.
Yeah, I think you can be so scared that you sign up for the extended warranty policy at Best Buy every time you buy an electronics item, which would be a complete waste of your money, and you should self-insure. You shouldn't spend $80 to insure a $300 laptop. That is really, that's not smart. Same thing with you when you're insuring like a TV or whatever. And there's all sorts of products like that. You can insure anything and everything these days that you want to, and you really shouldn't. But you should make sure on those most important things that you have enough insurance and that you also have enough money in the bank to cover the general wear and tear or the things that are going to break in everyday life as well, including those electronics.
That's right.
Or including some sort of, flight change that you have to make. Just no need to buy the insurance every single time.
Nope. You can build some of that margin into your own life by keeping that cash in the bank.
Yes. For sure. All right. So let's
get your savings account.
But there are ways, Matt, even as you're making sure you're properly, adequately insured, that you can reduce the costs of insurance in your life. You can have your cake and eat it too. We'll talk about that right after this. Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. They are committed to high ethical standards and even had to pass a rigorous exam before they could become a CFP professional.
They offer financial planning and services that take a more comprehensive view of your financial and personal circumstances and are customized for your needs. Certified financial planner professionals can offer advice on a wide range of issues like reviewing your investment portfolio's allocation, handling an inheritance, rolling over a company retirement plan, building education savings, and so much more.
That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach. Every single summer, we've already got that trip to St. Simon's on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host, or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
If you're listening to this podcast right now and you're a small business owner, listen up. Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're actually choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers. They do everything from hyper-targeting best fit prospects through campaign optimization. Upswell Marketing's unique approach includes direct mail, search engine marketing, and social media ads, and has fueled more than 10,000 small business success stories. Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies. Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
All right, now let's talk about how to spend less money on insurance. Let's talk about some of the different ways you can reduce insurance costs in your life. And, you know, the main thrust of this episode is that we want you to be prepared in case of an accident, whether it is with your home or auto. And we want you to be frugal, not cheap. And so that means having the proper coverage in the necessary amounts. But we also want you to save money wherever possible. And the truth is, a lot of How to Money listeners out there could save a lot of money pretty easily on what they pay for insurance.
In 5 minutes, could they save 15% or more, Matt?
Easily. We already talked about raising your deductible That can be a great way to reduce your premiums, assuming you have that money set aside in your emergency fund. The more you're able to self-insure, the more you're going to be able to save. But there are other ways that you can also reduce the cost of what you're going to pay for insurance without cutting corners.
Yes.
Without going cheap.
It's important to mention a lot of things that people can do to save, because I think people might assume, oh, okay, I need to beef up my insurance. It's just going to cost me a ton of money. And like we said, like if you are to raise the limits on your current homeowner's policy, it is going to cost you more money, but it's going to be well worth it. But that being said, there are still other ways that you can kind of tame the price of insurance in your life. And one of those things is to increase your credit score. Because in most states, not all states, I think California is one of those states where they don't allow insurance companies to take credit score into consideration. But in most states, it's legal for those insurance companies to base your rates at least partially based on your credit score. And so making sure that your score is solid not only saves you by getting a lower interest rate when you're buying that home, but also it impacts what you're going to pay every single year to insure it. And it's amazing, man. I think on a recent Friday flight, we mentioned that I think for folks who have poor credit versus great credit, the average difference in annual premiums on homeowners insurance is something like 72%.
Yeah. So a significant amount.
It's not minor.
From having crappy credit.
Yeah. It's not minor. And so your credit score has a massive impact on what you're going to be able to save and how much you're going to pay overall, fork over for the same exact insurance policy. It's not like you're being cheap here. You're literally changing one factor in your life and you're able to like pull a bunch of money back into it.
It's a factor that's going to affect you positively when it comes to your finances in multiple areas.
Yes.
And so that 72%, that's just the average, you know, the average increase. Some states it's even more than that, right? Yeah. And so that means in some states, I think I saw in like New York and Arizona, it's like Arizona's 170% more. And yeah. So it makes a massive difference if you're listening to this and you happen to live in Phoenix.
Yeah, if you live in Tempe or Tucson, it's like you want to pay even more attention to the credit score. We actually have an article that we'll link to in the show notes about how to improve your credit score. But there's so much you need to know. There's some low-hanging fruit there where if you're like, yeah, my credit score is pretty bad. We've got prior episodes. We've got articles up on the site where you can kind of improve that. But just know that improving that one thing could have a massive impact on what you're paying for insurance every month and every year when it comes to homeowners insurance.
Yeah, and you know, I feel that most folks know that bundling is going to be one of the easiest ways to save on insurance costs. If for some reason you've got your car and you've got your homeowners insurance with two different companies, it's likely costing you too much money. So this is some more of that low-hanging fruit that's ripe for the picking. But bundling is going to knock typically around 15 to 20% off of the price of each policy, right? So not, you know, we're talking about over your car insurance and your homeowners. And so finding the policies that you need with the lowest overall combined price, that is a smart way to think about how it is that you can save the most on insurance costs in your life. Don't worry if your auto insurance goes up 5%. If that means your homeowners is able to drop by 20%, well, you know, obviously that's a net win of 15%. So make sure you are looking at the premiums for both policies, not just getting distracted by a singular increase.
Yeah. And if you're shopping around with other providers, if you're trying to figure out where you go for insurance, don't think about just the price of one policy. And speaking of which, that is another massive way to reduce insurance costs in your life, is to shop around in order to lower the overall amount that you pay. Loyalty, we've always said this, it does not pay in the realm of insurance. The longer you stay put, the more likely you are to be paying too much. And so here's the thing, don't just consider the price and go with the absolute lowest quote or provider you come across. I think about some of those companies that advertise during like daytime television. Like, I don't know if Judge Judy is still on in daytime, but like they're often these kind of fly-by-night companies.
I barely know who Judge Judy is.
Oh, dude, she's a star. But there's all sorts of companies that advertise during that time of day that they're maybe not the most upstanding insurance companies. I'll put it that way. But you're going to want to make sure that you're doing business with a company who isn't going to leave you in the lurch when an accident occurs, right? Just because you got the lowest rate doesn't mean that you came out ahead. So Consumer Reports, their rankings are helpful here. They consistently rank USAA and Amica at the top of the heap in terms of insurance companies to do that are worth doing business with. And so if you're eligible for coverage with USAA, if you're in the military or the family member of someone who served in the military, I believe you have to be a direct descendant. Is that correct, Matt?
Yeah, basically, you have to have a parent who was in the military. And, well, not necessarily, I guess, because, like, if your grandfather was in the military, and then that would have made your dad eligible. So your dad wouldn't have necessarily needed to have been in the military for you to then be eligible. Yeah. So as long as you have, for instance, like a parent who is eligible, whether or not they serve themselves, that specifically is what makes you eligible or
yeah.
not.
Yeah. So USAA, they're consistently ranked one of the best insurance companies out there. And if you are eligible, and if you've, like, one of your parents or something like that has USAA, you should find a way to get your foot in the door because they're one of the best companies to do business with. And if they offer you a great rate, then it's worth going in that direction. Amica is
even
one
more
of the
reason.
Ones.
But yeah. Again, not necessarily because they're the cheapest, but because they rank so highly when it comes to customer satisfaction.
Yes. Yep. And so, like, let's say rates, though, through one of the insurance companies that is ranked the most highly by Consumer Reports. Let's say they offer you something that's sky high. You're saying, well, I'm getting way better rates other places. Well, at least look at solidly rated companies, right? Because you just don't want to be subject to working with an insurance company who rates really low, extremely poor on claims and service in the event that you need to use your insurance. Because the goal, like we said, is kind of hopefully you never have to use your insurance. Hopefully a lot of the things we're talking about in this episode, you never have to deal with because lightning doesn't strike your tree, right? Or somebody doesn't rear end you or whatever. And you remain accident free for the rest of your life. Congratulations. But if you do, you want to make sure you're doing business with a company that is going to treat you right, that they're going to be responsive, and they're going to pay out accordingly.
That's right. Yeah. So as you're shopping around, like, this is obviously something you can do yourself in order to save money. That's totally a fine way to do it. It just might take a little more time than you would actually like it to. And so some other options out there are just to turn to some brokers who specialize in shopping with multiple companies all at once on your behalf. And so some companies online do this, like Policy Genius. We're huge fans of what it is that they offer. That's like a more automated digital online version of doing that. But then heading over to Trusted Choice, that's a great site to turn to that will help you to find an individual, typically a local independent agent, who is going to be able to do the same thing. They're going to be able to talk you through some of the different coverage limits. They're going to help you to find the best insurance products for your specific situation.
And they're going to shop with multiple insurance companies at once, and they're going to be able to kind of say,
yeah,
give you the rundown. Hey, I write a lot of policies with this company. Here's how they respond. I think you're going to get a lot of insight if you go with an independent broker, or at least talk to one.
And they're going
to
give you state-specific information as well, because that also has an impact on some of the different products that are available to you, the yeah. types of coverage that are required. And then plus, it can be really nice to have somebody, like an actual contact, somebody who you know that you can call. Like, I have an independent broker, and when it comes time for renewal and my rates have gone up, well, I know exactly who it is I'm going to call. I have her number saved in my phone. I know exactly who it is I'm going to email, and where I'm asking the questions. Hey, why? You know, what happened? What happened with auto insurance rates last year?
Yeah.
What can I do to get those premiums down? But having a real life independent agent who you can count on can certainly be a great move. But we're talking about shopping your insurance coverage, you know, with a bunch of different providers. While we're talking about shopping, I wanted to mention too, specific to car insurance, the type of car that you drive will have a big impact on the rates that you pay as well. Mm-hmm. So as you are shopping for a new ride, whether
that Ferrari I just bought, the insurance is so expensive.
It's going to be so expensive. And so, I mean, you and I were two frugal dads, and we drive our old minivans. It's kind of like a badge of honor. It's in large part to save money. It's not because we love old minivans. It's because we don't necessarily want to pay more than we need to in order to get from point A to point B.
Yeah. And it's so, not just on the price of the vehicle. It's on the recurring cost of the insurance.
Every single month or every 6 months, depending on how it is that you pay. And so if your craft beer is having a nice ride, that's totally fine. But like you said, know that it's more than just the sticker price. It's also the cost of insuring that vehicle. There's a reason Chevy Camaros and Ford Mustangs, they cost more than a five-year-old Toyota Camry to insure, because those cars are designed to go fast. And when cars go faster, they are at higher risk of getting in auto accidents, in which case insurers are going to have to pay out on claims made by individuals who are negatively impacted by those vehicles. And so these are all things that you want to keep in mind.
If I was in the market for a new car, I would be calling my insurance company and I would say, how much does this car cost to insure? Because that is going to factor into my decision as to whether that is a good decision to buy that car or not. I think oftentimes we avoid that question. And especially, Matt, if you're looking to some of those models that are more accident prone, that are going to cost more in insurance, it's just worth getting a quote on what that insurance is going to cost every single year before you make the purchase.
Right. They look at those actuary tables.
Yeah.
And oftentimes we think about, for instance, something as somewhat basic as gas mileage. And we're like, oh, you know, it's a gas guzzler. I'm not sure if I want to go that route. But then we don't consider something as significant as car insurance and the impact that that can have on the total cost of ownership as well.
Yeah. And I just want to say, too, like most things in life, like we talked about early, frugal versus cheap, value is more important than getting the absolute lowest price. And so when you're talking about insurance coverage, you want to make sure that you're fully covered by a reputable insurance company, but it's also possible to overdo it, right? You can overinsure or you can over-index maybe for, I got to be with the company that's number one rated by Consumer Reports, when maybe the number five or six company on the list gets stellar ratings still, but they offer you a much better rate. That's probably the best place for you to turn. And this is the kind of thing that people should be doing, if not every year, at least every 3 years, right? Shopping their insurance around. It's I would say every three, if you don't want to overdo it. If you're particularly frugal and can't stand the thought of wasting a dollar, then you want to do it every year. But every 3 years is probably a good idea to revisit what, you know, your insurance coverage, and then also revisit and test the open market to see if you can get a better rate elsewhere. And every accident, by the way, is different, right? It's impossible to be 100% prepared for every possible accident under the sun. It's also impossible to avoid accidents completely. Sometimes they just happen to you. I've had two happen to me in the past month that I could just, I couldn't really have been prepared for. I wasn't expecting. You know, sometimes somebody just runs into the back of you, or sometimes a lightning strikes the tree in your front yard. C'est la vie. It is what it is. And it's always an inconvenience, but hopefully you can at least be prepared for a potential mishap from a financial perspective. And so it's important to do your best to have proper coverage and to self-insure as much as possible in order to be as ready as you can, even though we can't predict or plan for these things that come along. So hopefully this episode helps you do just that, helps you be more ready than you currently are, helps you make some tweaks here or there, or maybe even some major changes to your insurance, to your deductibles, to ensure that you are ready to take on whatever comes your way, and that when that next accident happens, that it doesn't derail your financial plan completely.
Yeah, that's right, man. All right, let's go ahead and get back to our beer. This was an AOK Marzen style lager sent to us by Katie. Thank you again, Katie, for this beer. And this one is brewed by Gruner Brothers Brewing Company. Joel, what were your thoughts on this beer out of Casper, Wyoming?
Oh, Casper, Wyoming. It's a place I'd like to visit someday, but this beer was great, man. It was very much like Oktoberfest vibes going on, which is typically drunk in the fall, right?
Almost literally the definition of a of a Marzen.
Yeah, and so it's
like a nice taste of fall in a cup.
Which I appreciate, because fall now feels like a long time away, but really not so long ago.
It's the nice taste of bread, but in a carbonated alcoholic version.
Yes,
of,
very much tastes like brown bread, you know, in a cup, which is great. So
yeah, smooth and malty.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. Biscuity, all those kind of vibes.
Yeah, dark biscuits though.
Yeah,
give me that whole wheat flour with flaxseed in it. Yeah. Or something. I don't know. Yeah, this is a really good one, and would definitely recommend for folks to check out this brewery if you happen to be there in the area. What I can only assume is the beautiful country of Casper, Wyoming. But Joel, that's going to be it for this episode. We'll make sure to link to some of the different resources that we have mentioned during this episode, like where it is that you can find an independent insurance broker in your area. You can find those in our show notes up on the website at howtomoney.com.
That's right. You can also sign up for our newsletter, by the way.
Yes, you can.
howtomoney.com/newsletter. It's awesome and it's free. So check that out.
And from time to time, we'll have insurance saving tips in there as well.
Sure.
But buddy, that's going to be it for this episode. Until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf-Edatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late-night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.